make our confession together here in just a moment. Matthew chapter 11. And it's a blessing to see y'all digging. You're looking. And thank God. Amen. Thank God for that. Well, would you join me as we make this confession together? Words are on the screen if you need those. Those joining online too, if you believe, we invite you to join us as we make this confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Sounds great. Of all the many virtues of Jesus, and if we were to try to list them, we couldn't exhaust them all, but there was one specific virtue that Jesus spoke about himself that he said, I want you to learn this from me. What virtue is it? Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Jesus is speaking and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, or that word is also translated humble. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The one humility or the one virtue that Jesus specifically said about himself that he wants us to learn from him is humility. And I started to just make the message title, Learn Humility from Jesus, but I didn't want to limit it because we can learn a lot from Jesus. And I didn't want to limit it. Today we'll focus on that one. So I just thought I'd make it simple. And this is really just a great way to live, I think, anyway, based on his words, learn from Jesus. Learn from Jesus. That's the title of the message this morning, Learn from Jesus. Would you say that with me? Learn from Jesus. And so today, again, learn from Jesus. Humility, we'll focus on that one as we go into a couple of verses right here in Matthew chapter 11. Before I do, I'd give just a little background here because last week I shared a different message about committing truth to the faithful. But a couple weeks before that, I shared a couple messages on the blessings. Well, let me say it this way. On the dangers of pride, and we looked at two of them. The pride brings the danger of, first of all, deception, and then second, discord. So deception and discord are manifestations often of pride, and we looked at three blessings of humility: grace, wisdom, and harmony. Grace, wisdom, and harmony that flow out of humility. And today I'd like to just take the time we have to focus on two more blessings that are found here in the New Testament. So let me give you this first one. I'll just give it to you and write it down, then we'll look at the verses, all right? The first blessing we'll focus on today that comes out of humility is that humility leads to rest. Humility leads to rest. I was just saying that word yesterday, rest. Doesn't it just sound good? Rest. Would you say it with me? Rest. Thank God. Thank God for rest. And before Jesus gives really a twofold invitation, let me give you a little background here. Jesus rebuked several cities where he had worked many miracles, and even though he had worked all of these miracles, the people refused to repent and believe in him as Messiah and Lord. Then, not only did he rebuke those cities earlier in chapter 11, then right before this invitation, he said, Father, I thank you. And he thanked his Father for revealing spiritual truths to those humble enough to be willing to admit their need and receive. He said, the Father has hidden certain truths from those who think they are wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. When we remember what Jesus said in one place there in Matthew 18, he said we have to become like children, to humble ourselves as a child to come to him. Because we can't come to him in pride and arrogance or self-sufficiency. We come to him in humility, acknowledging our need for him. So Jesus makes this, he shares this thanksgiving, and then he gives this invitation. And the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus speaks and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So I want to just give you a couple examples of what could wear us out. He says weary and heavy laden. We can grow weary from some activities or some conditions. We can be burdened heavily. And so let's name a couple of them here quick. First of all, we can grow weary under the burden of sin and guilt. God did not design us to live that way. But we can carry sin, and we can carry guilt. We can carry regret. But that's not how the Lord wants us to live. But he gives that invitation. If you're weary from sin, if you are heavy laden with guilt and condemnation, and you think that you can't come to God, he says, "Come to me. And I'm inviting you to come. I'm the one you need. I'm the one who will help you to find rest." He says, "I'll give it to you." So we can be burdened and heavy laden with sin and guilt. Another is we can be burdened with prideful works of self-righteousness. Let me just think about that a minute. Self-righteousness will lead us to condemn others, because usually self-righteous will compare to someone who's not as spiritual as we are. But our works and our righteousness can never please a holy God. But they can become a burden. We feel like, I've got to do my religious duty and I've got to take on. See, people can be religious and not know God as their Father. And so that's not the rest that Jesus calls us into. In fact, if you want to just write this scripture down, I'm going to come back there in Matthew 11. Let me read it to you from Acts 15. I said earlier in the service that what God requires, he provides. And the righteousness, see, our righteousness is not good enough. We've got to come to, if we try it that way, here's how the Bible describes it. We're going to stand before God one day in filthy rags, because all our righteousness are as filthy rags to a sinless, holy God. So here's what God says. I'm not accepting that. I'm going to give you a clothing of my righteousness. All you have to do is believe in me. And then you can lay the rags aside. I'm going to clothe you with rich garments of my righteousness. Then you can come before me. So this is what it says in Acts 15, beginning in verse 8. It says, "So God," this is Peter explaining to the rest of the Jewish believers there, how God gave the same Holy Spirit and the gift of salvation to those who weren't Jewish. He says, "So God, who knows the heart, acknowledge them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Notice he knows the heart and then he purifies the heart. And it's our faith in him that brings the Holy Spirit and his cleansing work. Verse 10, and I want you to please look at this based on what Jesus said earlier about take my yoke upon you. He says, "Now therefore, why do you test God's by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" And then verse 11, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Would you read that verse out loud off the screen with me? Let's read it together. "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." So we must just simply come to God with faith in Jesus, acknowledging our need. I have sinned and I need a Savior. And I believe Jesus not only died on the cross to pay for my sins in full, he came back to life 3 days later and he's beside the Father in heaven right now. And if I come to him with faith in my heart and confess him as Lord, God will forgive me. He'll purify my heart and his Holy Spirit will come live in me. And I'll get to be with him forever. Thank God. Learn from Jesus. So learn from him. Thank God for the salvation he purchased. But then verse 29, this is the second part of that invitation. It's a twofold invitation. He says, take my yoke upon you. So first come to me, then take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let me pause there a second. When you think about a yoke, some of you are familiar. You know what that is, like a wood harness, right? What do you think of rest when you think of a yoke? Not typically, right? It was a piece of wood basically that joined a couple, usually oxen, together. And they might plow or do some type of work. And usually there was a lead ox who would take the lead and the other would partner alongside them. And they were step by step. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, he was inviting us to become his disciple. That's what it meant, to take my yoke upon you. Remember what he said before he ascended to heaven in Matthew 28:19? He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teach them to do all things that I've commanded you. And that phrase, when he said, make disciples in Matthew 28:19, it's the same word from which Jesus said, learn in Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and be my disciple. Learn from me. That's what it means. See, God doesn't call us to be church members. Pew warmers, right? Thank God for those joining online who can't be here. But even that, he calls us to be his disciples. Come to me, and then not I'll see you in heaven. No, come to me, and then take my yoke upon you. Be my disciple. Let's do life together. The Passion Translation says, simply join your life with mine. And so it's in that close fellowship with Jesus as our resurrected Lord that we learn from him and we become his disciples. Would you look at that verse again, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly or humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What draws us to Jesus? It's really his self-sacrificing love for us that even in our sin, he invites us to come to him, and it draws us to him. And so what happens is no one is forcing me to follow Jesus from the outside. I'm drawn to him because his spirit has revealed his love for me on the inside, and I willingly place myself under his yoke and his authority. So now he is the lead, and I'm the follower. He is not just my savior in the sense that I'm going to let you forgive my sins and I'll see you in heaven, but I'm going to live any way I want. That's not how the scripture presents salvation. It presents it as, I want your forgiveness, so I'm accepting you as my savior and my Lord. They go together. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So to believe in him, to learn from Jesus, and it's in close fellowship with him in a daily walk, close fellowship with the Lord, as we fellowship with him by his spirit, that we learn from him and we grow more like him. Learn from Jesus. Would you say that with me? Learn from Jesus. So the first blessing, at least this morning, we'll look at is there is a rest. Then he says this, because just like our bodies need regular rest, I don't preach to myself here a minute on that one. And sometimes you can't always help your schedule. You can't schedule funerals and so forth. But I have learned to try to take breaks when I can get them because I don't have a set day off. I hope that'll change sometime soon. I'm going to try to take a day off this week. But our bodies will let us know if we push them too hard. And it can happen mentally, emotionally, even spiritually. So Jesus invites us to come to him. He says, take my yoke upon you. Again, a yoke implies work typically, but with Jesus, he says, let me read that to you, verse 29 once again. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Just like our bodies need rest when they grow tired, we need rest on the inside. We need that inner rest, and it's in close fellowship with Jesus, that we find or obtain. That's what that word means. We obtain spiritual rest. Rest for our souls means our hearts and minds. That's a beautiful invitation. Come to me and then take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. You'll see that I'm gentle, I'm humble, and if you follow me and you start not just learning from me, growing like me, you're going to find rest for your souls. I'm going to give it to you. You'll obtain it. You'll find it. That's such a blessing. Oh, my goodness, rest. Would you say it again with me? Rest. Then verse 30, he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I looked this word up, easy, and it can mean good, benevolent. But I love how it's translated in 1 Peter 2:3, if you just want to write the reference down. In 1 Peter 2:3, it says, if indeed or since indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, the word gracious is the same word translated easy in the invitation of Jesus. He said, you can come and learn from me and you'll find rest for your souls because my yoke is gracious. I love that. My yoke is easy because it's gracious. And when we follow Jesus and we keep his commandments because his love is in our heart, it makes it where it's not a heavy burden, but then it becomes a delight because we want to please him. That's why it says this. One more scripture. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I've referred to this song many times before. Remember, he ain't heavy. He's my brother, right? He ain't heavy. He's my brother. That's because the little girl carrying the big baby brother she was carrying him because she loved him. And that was her response to someone who asked, isn't he heavy? He ain't heavy. He's my brother. And see, it's our walk with Jesus that inspires our work and our witness for Jesus. Let's say that again. It's our walk with Jesus that inspires, I'll say first, our witness, and then our work for Jesus. If I'm serving God because his love is in my heart and I'm grateful to him, then that makes it a light yoke and it's not a heavy burden. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'll give you this last one. So the first blessing of humility is rest, and then 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll look at this last one. 1 Peter chapter 5, rest. And many of you are probably familiar with this verse before I even say it. If you just hold your spot there, 1 Peter 5. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth or cares for you, right? Casting. That's a great verse that it's a truth of scripture that we may use to encourage someone, right? To comfort them, maybe to bless them. We may remind ourselves of it, casting all your care upon him. But there is a prerequisite to the casting. Often we pick it up in the middle of the sentence because a verse is there that men have placed. So let's go back and get the context of it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you. Would you say all of you? All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, how we put on humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, because of that, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Humility precedes the casting or the releasing. So this first blessing is rest. The second blessing is release. That word casting means to throw. I wish I had a little ball, a football. No, I won't throw it. But to cast, well, how about this? How about a fishing illustration? Some of you probably had this experience if you fish, or you have before, like years ago, like me. They're on the certain, it's called a closed face reel. There's a button you push. It's called a release. And if for some reason you go to cast and you don't hit the release, you can get a spider web on the end of your fishing pole, a fishing line and a lure or a worm or whatever it is. Or I had this one time happen, a brand new artificial bait on there that I thought, this will catch a bunch of fish. Snap. And there it went sailing out, right out into the water. You got to release it. You got to release. Would you tell somebody next to you, you got to release it? So it means to throw on. So when God says cast, the scripture says throw, it's a release. And in order to release all my care, and that's the key, it's not just some. I want to get rid of some. But in order to release them all, I have to be willing to humble myself, because pride wants to maintain control, whether that's in my own heart and life or over someone else. And I've noticed that pride can exaggerate our own importance to such a degree, and please hear me on this. It can exaggerate our importance and contribution to such a degree that we take on more on ourselves than God ordains. That's the key. Now, I'm not talking about helping someone in need. I'm talking about allowing pride to be the motivating factor, because let's back it up. If we don't humble ourselves before the Lord and cast all of our cares, then we won't have his rest. So we've got, in order to follow the guide and the command, really, is that we must humble ourselves before God. Then we have his grace to help us cast and to help us release those things. So, but if I do not humble myself, I won't have his grace. Remember what it said? He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself and then cast. So I won't have his grace if I don't humble myself to acknowledge that I need him and release all of these cares, all of our anxieties, all of our burdens, then I won't have his rest. And then what happens so many times, I believe I've observed in life, is if I don't have rest on the inside, then it leads me to not have rest on the outside, and it'll cause discord or conflict with someone else. So learn from Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Rest and release. Receive his grace, and then to let it. And we can use unrest on the inside, I believe, as a warning signal. It can alert us. You know how sometimes we get an alert on our phone that maybe a storm is approaching? Well, don't we need that Holy Spirit alert on the inside in our spirit, that when we're not at rest with the Lord, then it can lead to I can get impatient with people. I can get easily offended with people. And so, am I being real enough here? So to learn from Jesus, and it can be a reminder, I need to humble myself and come to Jesus with faith in him through prayer, through worship, I believe with gratitude. I'm learning, I hope, how important just being grateful to God is in our lives, and thanking God for his blessings, and thanking God for his goodness, and just who he is. And then to come before him in the scripture and open up the scripture and let his healing word fill me and heal me. See, then I don't have to, my worth is not based on what others think of me. It's based on the truth of what my Father in heaven says about me. So I'm not having to be under that heavy burden of pleasing everyone and doing whatever. I can't be all things to all people. And I'm not being mean to say this, but none of us can. You can't either. Only God can be. And I wonder sometimes if God even allows us and ordains us to get into situations where we can learn to say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to love you, I'm going to support you, but in this one, I need to direct you to God, because he's the one who needs to help you in this one. Amen. Then we don't take more on ourselves than necessary and live unburdened in a way that God does not ordain for us to live. That's not how God wants us to live. To rest and release. And it's not like we get it straight all the time. There are going to be days when we're going to have to, hold on a minute, I got to get with you. I need a little God time. I need some prayer time. I need to come before the Lord right now. before I go crazy or before I, whatever it is. And so just to come before him, to humble ourselves and to release all of our cares. And this is why he cares for you. God loves you. He cares for you. He cares for me. He doesn't want us to live without any joy in our heart and life. And again, I'm not talking about caring for people. We are concerned. We love people. When they go through a hard time, man, yesterday, just while I was here, I mentioned I received a call. Amanda's mom goes in the hospital, and then someone else has a need. Someone is sick, and then someone, another situation. And I pray, but I have to be wise about this too, that I come to the Lord in prayer and make sure I don't stop it with me, because then it burns me down, and instead lift it up to the Lord and say, Lord, they need you to come in this situation. They need your grace. They need your rest, and to point them and lift them up to the Lord. Then that way, we're the conduit of God's grace through prayer, but we're not trying to be God in place of him. So learn from Jesus. Rest and release. Did Jesus deal with difficult people? So you thought you had to deal with some difficult people, right? Learn from Jesus. Did he face hard times, tough trials, some that humans can't even relate to? But see, Jesus did not live in a state of unrest, because he knew how to take all of those burdens and cares and conflicts and bring them to his Father in prayer. And if Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, did that, how much more do we need to learn from Jesus to live lives that are, again, temporary burden? We care, we're concerned, we love, we pray, but we don't live unburdened because we've learned from Jesus how to humble ourselves and bring it to him and have his rest and to release our cares because he cares for us. Learn from Jesus. So again, come to Jesus, learn from him. In fact, I would like to just ask you to just think about this. Can we just go to the Lord in prayer before we share this time of communion? And I want to invite you to just think about your own heart right now, your own life and mind, and maybe just observe and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. To say, Lord, am I carrying something that you want me to release? Not a responsibility, but am I carrying a burden, a care, an anxiety, a worry? Lord, help me. Maybe you've been in a state of unrest for a little period of time on the inside. And sometimes it's just because you're concerned, you love people. But has it gone to the point where there hasn't been a release and there hasn't been a receiving of the rest of Jesus on the inside for your soul? If the Lord has revealed that to you and you just want prayer right there where you are, would you just slip your hand up and just say, just hold it up just a moment, please. Lord bless you. Thank you so much. You can go ahead and put your hands down. I'm with you. Lord, I thank you for just the honesty. Even that required humility to just say, I need to release this burden to you, Lord. I need to cast all this care. I need to even come to, I need to just stay close to you. Maybe I need a closer walk because it's in your yoke that I find rest for my soul. So help me. Let's humble ourselves, brothers and sisters, right now. Let's trust God and release all of our cares, not just some. Let's release all of our cares to the one who cares for us now. Would you say this? Would you say, Father, I thank you for caring for me. And Jesus, thank you for inviting me to come to you and come into your yoke, which is easy. I want your rest for my soul. Help me to learn from you. I cast all my care, all my worries, all my anxieties, onto you right now because you care for me. Lord, I receive your love, your grace, your peace, and your rest for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand together?